Hey, everybody.
That's
Welcome
awesome.
back to the Visionary Practice Solutions podcast. Today, we have Dr. Heather Signorelli. She is a pathologist, has been for the last 12 years, and she is a CMO of large healthcare systems where she's overseeing their entire laboratory operations. She's also the co-founder of National Revenue Consulting, and I am happy to have her here. We are going to talk about some major billing things, as well as a book that she recently wrote. And hopefully, there will be some really great insight for everybody for billing. So, Dr. Signorelli, thank you for being with us. And go ahead and introduce yourself a little bit. Tell us about NRC and what you guys do.
Awesome. Well, thanks so much for having me here today. Excited to kind of chat with you and hopefully help some of your listeners. So my background is pathology. I think I at one point in time wanted to be an OBGYN, but 2 a.m. Baby
Oh.
calls is not
Oh,
my
yeah.
forte.
Yep.
So quickly, I did fall in love with pathology. Loved that, it was kind of the specialty that there's a constant need to learn and figure things out. And
Yeah.
went into pathology and now oversee a large number of clinical laboratories. I'm the chief medical officer of a large healthcare system. And so kind of do that in my day job. And I've been fortunate enough to really be able to work on the healthcare administration side, but have that clinical twist to things.
Yeah.
I do have to say the organization I work for is really good about saying, phys having physicians in kind of those business, I guess, areas, because it does allow you to make really, I guess, better decisions clinically
Yeah.
when you are a physician, but you also understand the business side. And so when you can mix those two things together, I feel like we've been able to really drive, high quality care, which has been the key. And so it's been a good role. I've been doing that for, gosh, a little over 10 years now. And then we opened up our billing company. So I co-founded this National Revenue Consulting, which we now call NatRevMD. We rebranded, and my husband and I started that about 3 years ago. And really, that was all about, I actually was at a physician conference and was hearing a whole bunch of physicians say, that they were just really struggling post-COVID with revenue,
Oh yeah.
and we're just not taught it in medical school or,
Mm-mm.
healthcare education. You know what I mean?
No.
And I think part of our company's mission is not just to provide a reliable service, and of course that's important, but it's really what can we educate, what can we teach, what problems can we solve when it comes to business, and that's really our passion and what we're hoping to also be able to help with the practices we do billing for. So.
Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah. And then you ended up writing a book, which I don't even know how you have enough hours in the day to do all of the stuff that you do, but on top of that, you wrote a book. It's called Thrive: Proven Strategies to Boost Revenue and Master Medical Billing. What drove you to write a book?
I just wanted to lay out the basics around, you're starting with a claim, you're ending with accounts receivable, you've got patient statements, and then all the things that go into that process
Yeah.
to improve revenue. Because again, we're not taught it. I did really use like our knowledge of where practices have struggled, that we do billing for. And so it's kind of the lessons learned over the last 3 years between, what we're seeing practices struggle with, what we see physicians understanding, and how we can kind of connect those dots.
Yeah.
It's hard to write these books because you just want to put everything in there. So this is a kind of starting high level. We're thinking about, maybe just doing a deep dive on certain things like, front desk training, because that's such a key
Oh,
thing,
it's
or
huge. Yeah.
right? And so high level to start, really giving you kind of nuts and bolts of, understanding things so that you can look at your own practice, understand what's going on, and make small tweaks to improve revenue, because that's really the key here,
Yeah. Yeah. What are some of the bigger challenges that you feel like some of private practices are facing when they're like just trying to straight increase revenue?
I think front office collections,
Yeah.
patient collections in general, is one of the most important processes to have down. And we can talk eligibility, we can talk prior auths, which are all really important, but it's really having your front office staff really understand what is their role, what is their responsibility, what do they need to do daily, what do they need to do weekly, and how that impacts patient collections is critical. I mean, I think just if you're not doing eligibility correctly, you're oftentimes not collecting the right information from a patient or the right amount from the patient,
Sure.
copays, deductibles, et cetera,
Yeah.
or you're not looking at the balances and collecting overdue balances. You're sending out patient statements that then just go unanswered. Like
Right.
that bucket of work right there is a struggle and with a lot of our practices. And it's the not sexy stuff
Yeah.
that
Yeah.
nobody wants to, like, nobody wants to sit here and talk
No.
about how to get my front office staff to collect patient balance. It's
Yeah.
just not sexy.
Yeah. Well, and I
So
think too, people like kind of forget that, okay, yeah, you could just say, we'll go ahead and send you the bill for your copay. You're paying for those statements to go out. Like you're now cutting into that copay even more because you do have to pay per statement typically. Like that's
totally.
just part of the system. Yeah.
And you're always going to have 30, 40% of those statements that just nobody, I don't know. I don't know where they end up and they go, nobody pays them. So
Right.
then you're having to deal with calling patients on the back end or, trying to figure out if you do collections or not. I mean, it is truly, and we actually created a video that kind of goes over this as part of our billing course that we do, which is available to all of our clients. And that is a way to try and educate and teach your front office staff. And then we also have policies and procedures and things that are attached to that that we try and provide. Every practice is a little different. And so everybody kind of has a different way to do it, but you gotta have something and it's gotta
Yeah.
be a focus. Like, I mean, I know you in your practice, you had this, a focus, for yourself, which
Oh yeah.
was amazing.
Oh
And
yeah.
I know that that was not fun
No.
to do.
None of it was fun. And sometimes it's just like, it's just getting creative about how you're going about to do it because, a lot of the smaller practices like mine were, well, I called it smaller, but I guess we're not really technically that small anymore. But at one time when we were, and we had very, very few employees, it's hard to be able to just have your single front desk person, be checking the balances and the co-pays and the eligibility and answering the phones and helping check people in and out. And it's like it does get cumbersome for that employee. We ended up actually just like bringing in a one of the VAs that I have, and like she literally the day before goes through and gets to my front desk the list of everything that people owe. So it's like co-pay, it's if they have a balance, it's all of it, so that as people are coming in, we're collecting those balances. And it definitely has decreased on the amount of like statements that we're having to send out, which has been fabulous. The cash flow is much improved with those kind of processes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And again, when if you're somebody listening and you own a practice or run a practice, it can be overwhelming at first to say, oh my gosh, I don't want to deal with all of that, right? That just seems like there's too many things. So just start with one. Okay,
Right.
let's get eligibility down pat because that's
Yeah.
the key to the kingdoms. If you can get eligibility down pat, doing that right in your EMR, your PM software, and then knowing how to use the payer portals, getting that piece together first, right? So get that piece wrapped up in a nice little bow. And then you add on top of that, okay, now we're going to really make sure, since we're doing eligibility, that we're collecting co-pays, deductibles, and patient balances. Okay, we're going to wrap that up into a bow. And then we're going to deal with old patient statements, balances.
Yes.
And so
Yeah.
chunk it out. And so that's what I would really, really recommend, for those listening. Again, this is not the sexy stuff, but it is the
Right.
necessary stuff.
Absolutely, absolutely. And then and so I mean that's definitely that. Yeah, just having your front desk and having your eligibility stuff figured out is super important. Are there other things that you feel like practices could implement fairly quickly to start seeing improvements in their revenue? Or is that going to be like the most impactful?
That's probably the most impactful, honestly, because even when we look at our practices denials and we review those denial reports, the majority, like the number one denial that we see is eligibility.
Yeah.
And so if you can just get eligibility, like just start with eligibility, just get eligibility down pat. Make sure that every single patient gets an eligibility check, every single visit, every single patient, like all of them. 3 to 5 days ahead of time, and that you resolve any eligibility checks ahead of time. Again, it is work. It is not fun work, and it is something that has to somewhat be micromanaged at the front desk level because they get busy, they get sidetracked, but it has to be done. It has to be done.
Yeah, otherwise you're missing revenue.
You're missing
Absolutely.
revenue. And then you're chasing it on the back end, and that's never as effective.
No. No. And so in the book, you talk a lot about mastering the claims process. So what are some of the really big common mistakes you see practices making?
Okay, so we talked eligibility and prior auth. Like those are your kind of front end stuff. When it comes to the actual billing process, so things that are important to watch out for. So when you drop a CPT code, right? So you do your visit and maybe it's one or two CPT codes. Assigning the ICD-10 code to the right CPT code is really important. Now, if you have a billing team that is scrubbing the claims, like we scrub the claims, so we're double checking those things. We're moving them around before we even send out the claim. But if you're
Yes.
listening and your billing team does not do that, you may get coding denials. And so it's important to know, if you are seeing those denials or rejections, that those are easy things to be done on the front end to make sure that you're going to get paid. And so that's, part of the claims process that I'd say is really important. And then, as always, just measuring your metrics, right? What's going
Yeah.
on with your metrics, and how can we make sure it's getting to the right, moving in the right direction? That's what I'm
Right. And I think too, like, I mean, it's nice when a billing company like yours, like, gives a nice report at the end so that we can kind of track those metrics. That is super helpful. Not every billing company is doing that, but I think there is the possibility that they can, right? Or even just through your practice management and EMR software, you should be able to kind of run those reports. So even if that's not something I think that people are like getting regularly and monthly from their billing company, I think it would be worth, investigating into the EMR. Can you get that? And then, just asking them straight up, like, is this something that I can get monthly so that, so that I can better track these things?
yeah. And again, this doesn't have to be a place of overwhelm, right? Because when you think about billing metrics, you're just like, oh my God, all of this information is a lot. Again, if you can just educate yourself on one metric a quarter or one metric a month and talk to your, billing company, I do think it should be a requirement. If you have a billing company that is not providing that report, that needs to be something that you immediately bring up to them and say, I need metrics and I need to understand the metrics. And I would say, for those listeners, like if you don't understand them, raise your hand, talk to your billing team. Most will, would gladly sit with you and go, okay, let's talk accounts receivable. Let's talk about, why this is. I know when I meet with my team and we're going over our practice metrics, those are the questions I'm asking is help me understand, why we're this number and why we're not this number. It is important for practices, I think, to understand at least baseline, right? What is accounts receivable? What does that mean? I think it's also important charges, if charges go up and down, then some of your billing metrics will go up and down. So you have to balance between raw numbers and percentages. And again, this is something you sit down with your billing company because they'll be able to say, okay, this is where I'm concerned. This is where we're focused right now, and have that conversation. And so, and it is hard, right? It's hard to find time for these conversations. It's not always fun to have these conversations because you'd rather be doing something else. But if you're new in practice or you've never sat down and reviewed those reports, at least review them, maybe if monthly is too much, try quarterly. Unless you have something going on that's wrong.
Then you need to be doing it
All
like,
in.
a
Leave.
lot more often.
A lot more often.
And I always call this like the CEO time, right? So like we all need to have our like little CEO time. And sometimes people just block a few hours, in the morning every other Friday or something. But it's like that's your time to literally like have the meeting with your marketing team, have the meeting with your billing team. Like there are core team members that I think we should be meeting with regularly, and it does help prevent the huge problems that then you sit there and you're like, great, this is going to take me 2.5 days to sift through. So I think doing it regularly, while it might seem annoying, if you just get it scheduled, get it done, you guys can keep on top of things together. It definitely feels more like a team sport, and I think it's super important.
And ask questions, right? I think it's, as a physician, we're used to being kind of oftentimes the people in the room who know the most with regards to healthcare, right? Not everything, but just healthcare. And so it sometimes is uncomfortable to say, I don't understand this. And I think you just gotta like pull up the big girl, big boy pants and say, I don't get it. And
I need
that's
help.
okay. I need help. I need help. And nobody should feel embarrassed or frustrated by that. And again, don't worry if you're don't know everything. Just pick one thing a month that you're gonna learn.
Absolutely. So now how can practices, because the other side of this, right? So like once we've got our claims through, the other half of this seems like accounts receivable. And you touched on that a little bit, but like how can practices actually really manage their accounts receivable to make sure that they're having like minimal delays, really, having a maintaining a healthy cash flow? Like what can be done with accounts receivable? What do
So
we need to know?
I think first it's important to understand that account receivable comes in two kind of flavors, right? The insurance accounts receivable and the patient accounts receivable. And so you do have to track each of those individually, right? Because the things you do to manage that accounts receivable is going to be different for both of those. So I'm going to focus on insurance accounts receivable because I think that was kind of the intent of your question, but
Mostly.
yeah. So, right, you send out a claim and typically some payers will get back to you in 14 to 30 days and, provide either a feedback or payment, and it's great. And then other payers, especially if you have a lot of small secondaries, it is like, the wild, wild west out there. I mean, you're and oftentimes the smaller secondaries don't even have payer portals. And so you're on the phone calling them and trying to get payment. And so really understanding, why things are taking too long is really critical, and understanding how we solve for those. So again, kind of common reasons are if you have a whole bunch of eligibility denials, then you're going back to the practice, right? Getting those fixed, resubmitting. So that's another 30 days. And those we, consider, that is something that can be fixed, right? So that you have less of those. It's really understanding, are they coding denials? Is it documentation? A lot of times, especially for some of the surgical practices, they're requesting medical records. So then we're having to send medical records, and then that delays things. And so you've got to really understand, okay, why are things taking the length of time that they are? And then how do we solve each of those things with the billing company together? Because when you find a billing company, it is a marriage. There has to be communication. It has to be both ways, and both sides have to get what they need in order to resolve the claims. And there has to be a good process by which there is that back and forth flow of information. And this is a struggle. I mean, and even for us, I mean, everybody just gets busy, and we have these trackers, but it has to be both ways. And so this is constantly something that we are on our own team with, and looking at and going, okay, why did these claims, we keep resubmitting this, why is that, what's really going on, how do we resolve this? This is probably the most challenging thing to do. I think, in my opinion, if you're listening, the number one thing to do, I mean, you know me, so I'm a big Excel person, but
Oh gosh, yes.
I'm a big fan of a tracker. I hate to say it, but because things get lost in email. And so we actually, how I want to share with the audience, we actually met with a company yesterday that is doing very early AI with regards to managing accounts receivable and denials.
I've heard about some of
I'm
this.
so excited. Now I met with the vendor. I would say it's pre-AI. It's not quite artificial intelligence, but it is figuring out how to manage workflows within your team, so that when denials do or accounts receivable keep sitting there, right? Maybe we've resubmitted once, maybe we're waiting for an appeal, maybe we've done medical records. It just gives us a different way to manage that book of work and manage workflows. I'm very excited about it. And so I think we're going to trial it with one. So maybe we trial it with your practice.
Great. Sounds good to me. Honestly, the whole AI thing is really, I mean, it's just taking on such a life of its own, and there's so many ways to use it. I think very safely, for private practices, and it's just such a great streamliner for workflow. So yeah, I'm super excited. I was hearing about, I don't know if it's the same company, but I was hearing about another group that's putting together an AI that's like very specifically for denials. And it's like it kind of is assessing like what it is you need sort of thing to get through the denial. And I was like, oh wow, like that could just save so much time. And I
So much.
believe it was started by a doc who like had a bunch of stuff denied for herself, and she just got super pissed about it. And so she went ahead and just like made an AI app for it.
I think we're talking about the same company because
Probably. Okay.
it was a pediatrician who started this company. It was her and her husband. And so,
Yeah.
and they do have a denial. It's grown. I've actually talked to them several times, but they've really kind of gotten slick with their interface. And so, but it was a pediatrician who started it
I
and her husband.
yeah, I think that's got to be the same one. I just thought it was such a cool concept, Take it into your own hands. I loved it. So
Well,
wonderful.
because it is hard, right? Because your billing team is hiring a set of individuals, right?
Yeah.
And say it's two, one and a half, whatever it is, and then they have to sit there and make phone calls, manual appeals, go into four different systems to do, everything that they need to do. If we can streamline that and get numbers even lower, it will change how we benchmark in our company for sure.
Yeah. And like if a practice is, because one of the things that's really, really hard is, you start, and I, Lord knows, before I was with you guys, I think I had like five or six billing companies. I mean, it's, you just go through billing companies and it seems like they're really, really solid in the first year and then it just falls apart. And I don't know what that is, but it's like consistently been my experience, consistently been a lot of my clients' experience. If somebody's not really sure if a billing company is like doing right by them, right? And let's say they're just a smaller practice. What are some of the things like that would be a cue when you're looking, let's say you're looking at your AR reports. What are some of the things that you would say, hey, this is probably something you need to be looking into their processes and make sure they're, doing what they say they're doing?
So I'm going to make one comment about what you just said about billing companies not getting as good after or not as good after a
Yeah.
year, because we get the same complaint too. They come to
I'm
us and say,
sure.
honestly, I think it's the communication. And I'm going to go out on a limb here and say that if that's happening, you don't may not have the right management structure at the billing company to be able to communicate issues between the practice and the billing company. Of course, the billing
That makes
company
sense.
could do a crappy job and they could not have the right leadership and all of the regular things, or they can have turnover. I mean, there's all of those
Sure,
reasons.
sure. But the communication part of it, that, yeah, that would make sense. That would be huge.
The communication part is key. In terms of what to watch for, and these be like your red flags, I think it's communication. So are people not, are you not getting answers back quickly enough from your billing team? I think it's looking at total insurance AR over 90 days, the raw dollar amount, right? So
Yeah.
the dollar amount, because the percent can wiggle depending on charges, because that's how it's calculated. So if the charges are going up and down, that percentage may be a little bit off, but you want to make sure that that insurance AR over 90 days, especially the dollar amount, but also the percentage is either stable or decreasing depending on where you started. We like to have insurance AR over 90 days under 90 or under 20%. Even better if we can get it under 15%. It sometimes gets a little bit challenging with some of the surgical practices, but they should all be under 20%. They should
Right.
not be above 20%. And unless there's an issue going on that we need to address. And that could be on our end, or that could be on your end, or that could be a communication end.
Yeah.
But you've got to figure that out, So I would say that honestly is probably the number one thing. The
Yeah.
number two is probably just claims not getting submitted in time. I'm a person when it comes to making sure that this is the case with our team, and that's the thing that we'll ask for reports from our billing team. Are they submitted on time? Are your claims submitted on time? And that goes both ways, right? Did you sign out your cases on time, right?
Right.
And did we submit it as within 48 hours? That's kind of our metric.
Yeah.
So
Yeah. And I think it's also really important, one of the things that you were talking about with just the communication between, the practice and the billing company, as well as what you guys have to go through for submitting claims. I think it's also really important to make sure to say that on the physician end, we really, really have to make sure that our notes are done at the time of our billing. Because if that can happen, And you're not getting too far behind with it, like it will make your billing company's job so much easier. And it will make your life easier too, because then you're not being bothered with like, hey, we need you to finish this note so that we can resubmit this. So that would be just the only other like, hey, help each other out, get your notes done.
Get your notes done. Get your notes done. I
just
and
get
I
your notes done.
and I would say just set an expectation in the practice that, you know, is this 2 business days? Is this 5 business days? Whatever it is, just come up with something. I really recommend in that less than 3 to 5 business days kind of thing. But if you can do that, that also takes, you know, for our team, we're pulling those reports. If we have an issue with you know, somebody not signing out reports, we are having to ask and do that. And so that's just time where they could be spending time calling on AR, you know. I mean, it's so if we can get really efficient on the signing out the charts, it's just an activity that, you know, just becomes a little bit, you know, less painful, and it's just more money in your pocket sooner.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, I'm super excited that you wrote that book because it really has some great stuff in it. And it, like you said, it's a really good overview, I think, for people to kind of know where to start and like have some things that they can just start knocking out right away, and get a better handle on their billing. So, I wanted to ask, because I ask everybody that comes on as a guest, do you have two books that you would recommend that were like really impactful for you?
Yes. Okay. So 10x is easier than 2x. I think that's Dan Sullivan, right? Huge fan of that book. It just makes you reframe, you know, the difficulty or the challenge it is to grow something, and that's grow whatever business you're in. And it just makes you think that you can 10x your business, you know, just as easy, or if not easier, than when you try and just 2x your company. So it thinks about growth. And then the second is probably, it's really a series. It's the $100 million offers or $100 million. Just Alex Hormozi, Leila Hormozi, the power couple. Them and running businesses, I actually think they don't sleep.
Like, I don't think they do.
I don't think they sleep. I don't think that they like take downtime. I mean,
Mm-mm.
maybe not that they're, you know,
Right.
like
Multi-millionaires, yeah.
zeros behind it, but they're a young couple, just very experienced when it comes to running business. And again, it's not business healthcare, it's actually outside of healthcare, I don't know, gyms or something. But it's just very interesting to hear his approach, and he has applied that to other businesses outside of, you know, gym.
And I really like his podcast, that The Game. I think you were the one that turned me on to that, actually. Because it's just basic business concepts, and like you can extrapolate into whatever type of business you want, and that's just kind of what they're focused on. I really like their stuff too. Okay, so if people want to get a hold of NatRev MD or get a hold of you, what would be the best way to go about that?
So you can go to our website, NatRevMD, NatRevMD.com. That's probably the easiest way. You can and we've got our course, we've got our book, we've got podcasts, all the fun things. And then, you know, of course, our email's on there. So I would say go to our website, check us out, and you know, shoot us an email, and we're happy to, you know, answer any questions or, you know, chat with anybody that is interested in billing.
Love that. We're going to actually go ahead and put a link to your book on the Visionary Practice Solutions webpage. We like to kind of have a library for business books for people, so we'll make sure to put you on there. And then for our regular subscribe listeners, when we send out an email, we'll go ahead and send the link to that book, because this book is just, it's absolutely fantastic. So
Oh, thank
highly
you.
recommend everybody read
Thank you. I
it.
appreciate it. Well, it was great to catch up today, and hopefully the listeners found this helpful.
Yes, we will have to do this again. I'm sure there will be more specific questions that roll in as soon as people hear this. So we will have to have you back on at some point and pick your brain about all the billing stuff. So thank you so much for being here. This was so great.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Appreciate it. We'll talk to you later.
Okay, bye.